the Regents LifeWare Transition Series provides an educational crash course on the not-so-basic basics of the USD LifeWare transition at an industry level. We're your hosts, Irina Pritchett and
Tali Zender.
Welcome back to the Regents LifeWare Transition Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about SOFR, which, as it stands, is really the primary alternative to LIBOR. So, Irina, what's a SOFR discussion without first talking about the Alternative Reference Rate Committee?
It's incomplete. The Alternative Reference Rate Committee, commonly known as the ARC, was convened by the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York to provide guidance to the U.S. industry on how to phase out LIBOR. It's comprised of many private market participants and holds multiple working groups, which address the many elements of the transition. Several years ago, the ARC selected the Secured Overnight Financing Rate as the USD LIBOR alternative. To be clear, SOFR is not the only U.S. benchmark alternative, but it is the one backed by the ARC. Now I have a question for you, Tyler. What's significant about the S in SOFR?
Maybe the best way of trying to explain what SOFR is to break it down word by word. So SOFR, the S in SOFR stands for secured. So it's based on transactions in the overnight treasury repo market. So those transactions are secured by U.S. treasuries, and in turn, it does not include the credit risk premium generally associated with the unsecured interbank lending. So SOFR is generally expected to be lower than LIBOR.
To reinforce the last point, for loans that formally transitioned from LIBOR, the ARC proposed a benchmark adjustment to be made to SOFR to neutralize for this inherent difference between LIBOR and SOFR over time. Moving on to O. SOFR is an overnight rate, whereas LIBOR has a forward-looking term structure. LIBOR tenors start at overnight and go through 12 months, with the most used ones being 1 and 3 months.
And we don't anticipate a robust term structure to be endorsed by the ARC for SOFR in the near future. So some vendors are publishing SOFR term rates, but in the meantime, there's a need to adjust for it not having one. So for more information on that said adjustment, check out the episode on look-back periods.
Without spoiling too much, I'll say that with SOFR loans, interest is calculated in arrears, meaning that the full interest payment will not be known until the end of the interest period. And speaking a little more to the overnight component, if one graphs the historical behavior of SOFR over time alongside the behavior of, say, 1 month LIBOR, the SOFR graph arguably looks more volatile.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, the SOFR curve smooths out when you average it over time. And as SOFR trends below LIBOR, a SOFR loan will include a higher spread to make the all-in rate of SOFR loan comparable to the all-in rate of a LIBOR loan.
To wrap us up, I'll include another crucial characteristic of SOFR. It's based on a robust market that trades approximately $1 trillion in daily volumes. This is not a market suffering from the lesser liquidity as experienced in LIBOR's underlying market.
Yeah, it certainly meets the goal of being a more robust benchmark than LIBOR. For more information regarding the LIBOR transition and how it impacts specific products and services, please contact your region's banker.
But before you go, here are the key takeaways.
So the Alternative Reference Rate Committee, or the ARC, is convened by the Fed and tasked with guiding the U.S. financial industry off LIBOR.
While several options exist in the market, the ARC is advocating for the secured overnight financing rate as the benchmark alternative.
Now, SOFR and LIBOR have some key differences.
One is that while the liquidity in the market underlying LIBOR has been drying up, SOFR is based on the robust overnight U.S. Treasury repurchase market, which trades about $1 trillion in daily volumes.
So the fact that SOFR is secured by U.S. Treasuries is one of the key differences. It doesn't incorporate credit risk into its calculation. So in other words, it's essentially a credit risk-free rate.
It's also an overnight rate and does not currently have a term structure to match LIBOR's menu of tenors, spanning from overnight to annual.
So to delve deeper into what some of these differences may mean, check out our other episodes, such as the one on look-back periods and fallback language.
Thank you for joining the Regions LIBOR Transition.
This podcast is for high-level informational purposes only and does not constitute legal or financial advice. You should consult with your legal counsel and other professionals concerning your specific situation.